Welcome back, guys, for another episode where we're going to be talking about God's word and different topics, sometimes controversial, sometimes just right in the word. Today I'm joined by Vince,
What's
and
up?
we've got a guest today, Mr. Andre King.
What's up, y'all?
Now, one of the things that I will have to say is I'm super excited to be back in the studio with Mr. Andre because he and I used to record Kingdom Talk with each other. Used to have some wonderful conversations. Many times as I was driving back to the hill countries, Dre and I would jump on a call, we'd record it, have wonderful conversations, just dividing the word of truth together. And it was always a wonderful conversation. Wonderful to have you back, Andre.
Oh yeah, I mean, I think it's important to lay some context for the folks listening. But between these two guys here, we're talking about what? 40 years of relationship. It's crazy, right? I've known you now, Kirk, for over 20 years.
Oh,
Vince, same thing.
you're
Yeah,
revealing
that's
my
true.
age, man. Be careful now.
Yeah. Hey, I'll tell you this. The very first semester, about 2 weeks in, I got moved into a different room. And Andre was one of the room the guys in the room. So Andre was one of the first roommates I had at Christ for the Nations.
That's in some more context, Dre, like you were talking about. We all went to school at Christ for the Nations together right at the same time, which it's really amazing that we've been able to stay connected and that, like, whenever I moved back into the Metroplex, that God kind of brought us all back in touch with Vince at the same time. It's really amazing how God sometimes brings in these divine connections where it's not just a connection, it's a reconnection to people that you've known from your past, people that are supposed to flow in your destiny. And I think that can lead us back into our topic for today, which is perseverance, because sometimes those people that you're connecting with help you to persevere through hard times, situations that you're dealing with. Because God, I know that I've mentioned this before, but Kenneth Hagin mentions in the book of The Authority of the Believer that there's times in our lives where God will ordain that someone is supposed to be in a relationship with someone else. That he, in his divine plan, knows that, and I'm going to use example here, that Andre is supposed to be in connection with Vince, and that I'm supposed to be in connection with you guys, and he's going to whisper a truth to each individual, and he's not going to repeat himself to all three. He's only going to give that nugget to each one individual nugget to each person because he's expecting that the three will communicate that information to one another through relationship because it proves that there is a need for a body. That they're not, we're not all a total unit. We're just like Paul says, that one's a head, one's the finger, one's the mouth, one's the eye, right?
Okay, I know this is, as you've known me and y'all know me, you talk about the body and everybody has that same question. What's the real purpose of the pinky toe? Nobody.
It's
No.
stability, man.
I
It's all about
understand.
being stable.
Right. So you don't think about how important a pinky toe is unless you lose it. And then you have to relearn how to walk. And so when I first got saved, and I remember hearing a sermon on that, and I was like, you know what? I want to be the pinky toe because for me at that time, I thought, well, the pinky toe seems like the odd man out. I've always kind of been the odd man out. And then I found out what it really is for, and I was like, oh, well, maybe I need to find a different one to be.
Hey,
Pinky toe. We
pinky toe.
promise, and you know what? I just want to say to the people listening, we promise we're going somewhere with this. It will come back. It will come back.
That's
That's
true. Don't make any promises you can't keep, Mr. King.
well.
That's
There's
true.
that. Okay, so it's really interesting though. You talk about reconnections and perseverance. So like that whole bubble we've now created. A few years ago, there was this thing at CF&I, and there was this big like worship conference for like 3 days. It was nonstop, right? And and I saw Andre about to go in, and I'm like, Andre, and he's like, Vince, and we hadn't seen each other since we left school, and it Really? was about almost 20 years at that point. And we get to talking, and after a little while later, we start sharing some stuff, and he's like, man, I need you to talk to this guy, and he's like, might you might even know him. And I'm like, who? And he said, Kurt came to see if and I when we did. And so all this stuff goes around. I ended up getting connected with Kirk on this one. And it was just part of that equation, you know? And there are things that God had been talking to me about doing for years. And I needed the connection with you guys in it to get to it. But until that time, I just kind of had to carry it. And I had to be like, okay, Lord, revisiting this thing every now and again, why do you keep bringing this back up to me? And all of a sudden, people start showing up in my life that have those experiences, or that know that they're doing that, or need help from experiences that I've had.
You know, Vince, I love what you're saying, man. If you think about it, a lot of times as we're going through life, not only do we need those connections, but we need the divine timing, right? You're talking about how you had to have connections to get to where you're supposed to be going. Well, same in my life, man. You know, when I was back in Tennessee before I moved back to Texas, you know, the Holy Spirit was prompting us to go ahead and start our ministry, form the 501c3, get things running. And as we did that, there was a season where it felt like I was all alone. I felt like I had no one to support me, no help. I mean, even though I had good friends that were praying for me and I knew that they were there with me and I knew that they were somehow supporting me at some in some way or form or fashion, there were seasons where it felt like I was doing everything by myself and I had no brothers to hold up my hands, right? But just like you were saying, when I realigned myself, you know, because when we came back to Texas, it was simply because we felt Holy Spirit saying, "Hey, this is the season. You need to come back." You know, and in all transparency, I was coming back kicking and screaming. You know, I did not want to leave God's country in Tennessee. Beautiful mountains, lush grass. Yes, because it's in a severe drought here. That's why I'm so enamored by it right now. But you know, when your yard has cracks that are 12 inches deep because there's not no rain, you're thinking to yourself, why did I leave Tennessee? Lord, why did you bring me to this desert wasteland? And then you're like, Lord, I'm not complaining. I'm sorry. I'm not going to be like the Israelites. I apologize. You know.
Well, you know, if I had to pick a state that starts with T that would be the best one to live in, I'd probably go with Texas over Tennessee.
Oh.
And I've been that I've lived there for several years, so of course, I lived on the west side of the state.
I'm
You
so
lived on
sorry.
the east side of the state, so.
Yeah, I'd never liked the west part of Tennessee, though. The eastern side of Tennessee is absolutely beautiful.
I
Western
think
part is
Tennessee in
more.
general is beautiful, man. That state is. I remember when we
It's
first
beautiful.
moved down. When I first moved down from Connecticut, we drove through probably about 15 states. But when we got to Tennessee, it was like, my goodness, this is beautiful. And the entire 8 hours, we kept saying, this is beautiful. That
Yeah.
state is just gorgeous. And I've been to Chattanooga.
Yes,
I've
you
been out
have.
there. It is God's country, but I do like Texas.
Yep. Well, I won't knock Texas anymore because I am here and I'm here until God tells me otherwise. But as part of that, God had to bring me back to be in proper alignment for the purpose of where He's taking me, just like you were talking about, Vince. And part of that means that we've got to persevere in those seasons that lead up to the moment of divine connection.
Yeah. You know, you
Yep.
said something that hit earlier though was you said there were seasons where you felt alone. Even though you had people around you still felt alone. You know, and if we're all gonna be honest and admit this, I think we've all kind of been there. We've all had our seasons where even if you're striving, you're doing, even if you're grinding and doing the different things you got to do, it's And you've got people that you know would pray for you, support you, call you, pat you on the back, whatever you need. There's still times where you feel alone. There's still times where you're like, man, there's nobody. It's that Elijah thing. I'm out here all alone, Lord. Help me out. He's like, what are you talking about? There's
Man, come
70,000
on.
other ones out
Elijah
here,
complex. Maybe that's what we need to
right?
call it.
I call it the Elijah moment. You know, it's the Elijah moment because you're like, I'm all alone. He's like, man, you are not alone. I'm sorry. I'm not gonna listen to that garbage.
Oh, thank
But
God. Dre, have you
I
ever
got
had a
you.
moment like that yourself where you felt like you just needed someone to hold your arms up and there was no one there to do it?
I mean, there's a lot of times, man. It's like the saying goes that sometimes the most lonely place is in the middle of a crowd.
Absolutely.
And just because you're around people, it doesn't mean you don't feel lonely. And I think it's like seasons of the soul. When my dad passed, it was like, wow. Like on a certain level, the only people that you feel like can really relate to you at that time are people in your own family, right? But outside of that, it's just kind of like, oh, brother, I'm sorry you're going through that. And it's, and people tend to say the cliche things that you're supposed to say when you're going through something like that. But yeah, it is. There's seasons of the soul where they're super lonely. And I think it's like you think about Jesus in the garden, and that's exactly where he was. He was like, gosh, just pray with me. Just pray with me. Just be with me right now.
You know, I
And they could
wonder,
even do
Dre,
that.
I wonder if one of the reasons why Jesus began to pray so desperately that he had blood coming from his sweat, could it have been that he was having to persevere through that moment so much because of the lack of support, the lack of, I mean, he, like you said, his disciples were there. But it's kind of like I've had to tell people before, no one values your job as much as you, right? No one values what's going to happen to you in your life as much as you do. Well, the reality is Jesus had that same moment in the Garden of Gethsemane, right? Or Gethsemane. I'm Southern, forgive my slur in there. But he was asking him, just like you said, pray with me. Just linger with me for a moment in prayer. And they couldn't do it. They fell asleep. You know, they were too exhausted from all the travels, ministry, whatever. Well, could it be that the depth of his perseverance is what drove him to have blood coming from his sweat? How many of us have persevered to that standard, to that depth, to where we've actually begun to sweat blood? Very few. I
I
mean, we
mean,
know.
yeah, I was gonna say to that point, that he was in the middle of his closest friends,
Yep.
and none of them could relate to what he was going through. None of them knew the depth of what he was going through. He was the only one that knew. And I think sometimes there's
Exactly.
people around us that wanna be there. It's not like they're doing it because they don't want to be there, but they simply just don't understand what we're going through. It could be a
Yep.
sickness in our family. It could be, a situation at home. And a lot of times people just, they just don't understand,
Well,
I'm
I
glad
think
you
that
brought
we are. I think we need to also point out the fact that just because somebody's gone through that same situation doesn't mean it hits them the same. Because even the disciples knew that Jesus was going to die. I mean, he told them. He flat out said, "Hey, my time's come," right? But they knew the fact, but they didn't know the emotion. Right? So just because someone's lost their parent doesn't mean that that same loss is going to hit someone exactly the same as someone else, because not everyone has the same situation at home. Not everyone has had the same experiences. And
I
I
think
would
it's a good thing that
go
we're touching
ahead.
on this. No, I really think it's a good thing that we're hitting this specific topic. I really feel like this is where we're supposed to be on it. That's so true. Like, one relationship determines like how things affect you. The person or people that you may lose in your life, their relationship as well as their age affects
Absolutely.
you. If they're older in life, even if it's hard, it's like, well, they've lived a good life or they've lived a long life. They've had a lot of experiences. Whereas with somebody younger, you might be like, well, they haven't really had a chance to live yet. So in a way, when they're young, I feel like not only are you mourning the loss of that person, but you're kind of also mourning the loss of their potential future
Yes.
and
Oh, that's
the
good.
people that could have been in their life too. And I just wanted to, I kept feeling this from the minute you mentioned it, Dre, and even some of the stuff you were saying, Kirk, and that's this. If anybody that hears this and you're going through a time right now where you've lost somebody and you feel like the whole world has stopped for you, it's okay. We know exactly where you are. We've all had somebody we've lost, and our world for that moment in time seemed like it stopped. But I give you a word of hope, and that's this word. That word is this. It will start to revolve again.
Amen.
It will start to come back around, and you will start to live again. But perseverance, and what we're talking about is pushing through, getting
Yeah.
up every single day. You might not feel like it. It might hurt. You might feel empty and like there's nothing there. But if you get up every single day and you honor the memory of that person and you honor God and you say, look, I'm going to wake up today and I'm going to do the best I can. I'm going to wake up today and I'm going to pull. And the best might be just putting one foot in front of the other. Shoot, in some cases, the best might be getting out of bed that day. I'm going to get out
Listen,
of bed.
hey, SM.
I want to tag on to that. So, I've been blessed with the opportunity to serve at the altar at my church. And it's something that I've kind of fought, but I know this is where God has me right now. And so this past Sunday, we were driving over and I said, Lord, can you bring someone to me who has a broken heart? And he's so faithful, man. I'm standing at the altar, and the message wasn't one of those altar call messages. You know what I'm talking about? Just kind of a message that had nothing to do with anything that would make you say, I'm going to run up to the altar. What I found is that people who go to the and go to an altar, and you think about how many sermons we've all heard in our lives, you don't go to an altar unless there's something really, really important
That's
going
right.
on, right? When you go to the altar, it's usually your last wit's end. And so this guy comes up. And first thing he says to me, he's like, I'm going through a divorce. I have no money in my bank account. I don't know what to do. And I'm like, thank you, Lord. And so I start sharing with him. And a scripture that came to me is like, what, when you were talking, Vince, I was thinking about it. Psalm 34, 18. The Bible says that the Lord is close to those with a broken heart and that he saves those who have a contrite spirit. But it's literally like, he draws closer in those moments where we're broken. It's like, he's like, I'm not only going to be present, I'm going to be very present because you have a broken heart. I'm going to be even close. He's a very present help in the time of trouble. And
Absolutely.
so that's something that I shared with him. And as I'm sharing it with him, it's ministering to me. But you realize we're never really alone. Our emotions, we might feel like we're alone, but we're never really alone. He's actually super, super close.
Especially since we're on this topic, brokenhearted and all that, Galatians 5:1, while you're saying that, it made me think of this. It says, it was for freedom that Christ set us free, or completely liberating us. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not subject again to the yoke of slavery, which was once removed. So the look, I am not an English person. If you've listened to me talk long enough, you know that. Grew up in New Orleans. Sometimes I have a Cajun accent, sometimes I don't. So I am not a wordsmith, but sometimes you just got to slow down and look at the English on something, right? And using words like keep standing firm. Don't be subject or do not be subject again to that yoke of slavery. Well, that yoke can mean so many things. Like you said, they're brokenhearted. It could be that you're dealing with depression. It could be that you're dealing with loss or despair or something else. And carrying that on you is like a yoke of slavery, because the enemy wants to bind you to that, and he wants to make you serve that until he can steal, kill, and destroy you in any way he can. So going through those hard times and hard things, sometimes it's keep standing firm. You know what the definition of standing is? It's similar to the definition of all. Notice that the definition of all is all. The definition of standing is standing.
Good stuff. That's
It
deep. That's
means
deep.
standing. It's like you're
That's
just standing there. You know what I mean? I'm
as
like,
deep as It's as deep as the New Orleans Bayou.
Hey, look, when the water rushes in, not everything's left standing, but some things do. But it's kind of like that. You know, the pillars that hold up bridges when water rushes in keep standing. And that's what we're
Absolutely.
supposed to do. When the water rushes in, when all hell breaks loose, when you lose family members, when there's sickness and there's ailments and there's disease, and man, you just gotta keep standing. And it's easier said. It's easy to say, hey man, keep standing. You know, hey, keep your head up. Hey, you know, I'm
Yeah.
sorry for your loss. You'll be okay. It's easy to say it. It's hard to walk it out.
So what I'm kind of hearing you say, Vince, that there's seasons of our life that we go through that perseverance looks a lot like discipline.
You know what? You're 100% right.
You
And
know,
I'll give you a phrase my wife said, and this is it. She said, honey, sometimes it's discipline, not desire, that determines your destiny.
that's it. Toby and I, another good friend of mine, just had a good conversation on a YouTube live the other night, and we were literally talking about discipline. And in the conversation, we were talking about how a lot of people fight it, you know, because they don't understand the importance of living a disciplined life to acquire the things that they need, especially in the culture that we have today. We have this attitude that things should just be given to us. We're so, you know, entitled that we feel like, oh, it should just be mine, right? Well, the reality is there's certain things that we want, and you and I have talked about this several times, Vince, that the person comes to for prayer, tells the minister, I want the same anointing that you have. The preacher says, well, you've got to go through the same trials and tribulations that I've had to get what I have, because the reality is the only way you can get it is through the faith walk that it takes to get through that trial. That's what brings you to the closeness, the relationship, the depth of that relationship that brings the anointing. Well, people don't want to hear that. They want the instant gratification. They don't want to persevere. They don't want to have the discipline that it takes to walk through those hard times and stand when it's not popular to stand, when it would be easier to sit down on the sidelines and take a break and just say, I give up. That's what they want to do. But the reality is we're called to live a life of discipline that even when we don't want to, that we'll do it anyway, that we'll get up and say, Lord, I love you. I'm going to spend time with you, even though it's difficult for me today, that I'm going to move beyond my own desires and I'm going to get in your word. I'm going to water my soul with the water of the word to keep me saturated so that I don't become parched like a desert dry land, kind of like Texas has been recently, right? You know, because think about it. If you or I allow ourselves to become so parched spiritually that we end up with 12-foot cracks in our spirit and our heart, what does that do for the enemy? He has a quick and easy way right in because he's like, ha, I can give him the fake stuff and he's going to accept it because he's so dry that he's going to take anything I say. And so then you don't learn to persevere. You have a false sense of satisfaction. You sit back in lethargicness, and then you're worse off than you were before because instead of being healthy, now you're muddy. Not even from the real thing.
That's a lot to chew on right there, man. That's good.
We got to be careful that we don't allow the tribulations in our life to put us in a timeout, but instead that we allow ourselves to be drawn deeper into the heart of God through perseverance and through discipline. And just like you said, I remember at one point, and I didn't even realize I had any effect with my grandmother. I mean, my grandmother was going through a very hard transition as she was passing. She was in the hospital in long-term care for quite some time. And this is when I first moved back to Tennessee. And I made a point, because I love my grandmother, to show up on a regular basis. It was an inconvenience for me. It was inconvenient for my family. But I made an effort to, on a regular basis, go visit her in the hospital. And the one thing that my grandmother told my mother is, Kirk is so faithful. Now, I'm not saying that to lift me up. Not at all. This is an example. She was like, he is so faithful. But see, the thing is the discipline to do that had an outcome. It ministered to my grandmother. I did not see the benefit. Until I heard about it later, I did not understand the impact that my diligence, that my perseverance had. It was not easy. It was not convenient. I mean, I had three young children working full time. My wife was working, completely inconvenient. So it would have been a whole lot easier just to maybe once a week go visit her in the hospital. But I made the effort for her. But then I found out later that it ministered to her, that it made the world of difference for her in those moments of trial. So how many times do our inaction, because it's inconvenient, harm ourselves or those we love because we don't persevere through the moment and make a disciplined decision to walk things out through attitudes of integrity and righteousness?
So a whole lot that you said right there, man. So I was listening to Alistair Begg. You guys ever listen to him?
I know the name.
He's got like a Scottish accent or something like that. And he's a preacher, and he was talking. And he said something that was so profound. He was like, and you could tell it wasn't in his notes, but he brought it up. And he goes, if you look at Jesus's teachings, a lot of times he wasn't calling out things that people were doing wrong. He wasn't saying, you're not doing this, you're not doing this, you're not doing this. But rather, he was calling out things that they should have been doing that they weren't doing. And so he used, like, you have like the Good Samaritan. The priest, they saw him, they walked, they didn't sin, right? They weren't doing something wrong, but they weren't doing what they should have done. They should have shown him mercy. They should
That's
have
right.
persevered through it, right? You go through the Gospels and you see all of that. And so I was talking to a friend, you guys, I don't know if you guys know Ryan. I know Kirk, you know Ryan, but we were talking, and it was a difficult time in our lives. My wife and I, her mom was staying with us, and she had cancer. And we had a really rough relationship, her and I, for a long time. But one of the things that the Lord impressed upon me during that season was I needed to do devotionals with her on a regular basis. In my flesh, I didn't want to do it. I was like, she doesn't really
No,
care for me.
I
I don't
remember
really
this
care.
season.
Yeah, I was like, ah, she don't care for me. I don't really care for her that much. But I was like, okay, Lord, I'm gonna do it. And so each night, my wife and I would go into her room, and sometimes, just to be honest, she just yawning and stuff in the middle of it. And I'm like, okay, this is just like, what am I doing this for? Let me just hurry up and get this over with. But as we did it night after night, there came to a time, and you guys know what I'm talking about, to where it's like you hit a stride. And it was like the Spirit of God would visit us in that time. He would just show up.
There you go.
And as he's showing up, you realize like she's locked in now. She's actually paying attention. And it was during that time that she gave her heart to the Lord. And I remember that night, like my wife and I are going and like, did that just happen? Did that really just happen? But it's like what you guys are talking about. It's like during the time, it's the perseverance, like that oil. Like there's no, it was costly. Like her soul was precious. I was missing it because I was like, I'm tired. I don't want to do this, this and that. And the
But it
Lord's like, I
cost you
have something
something.
that, hey,
Yeah.
yeah.
So what
Yeah.
you're saying is you pushed through even when you didn't want to.
Yeah.
It's funny, like we're sitting here talking about all this and we're using this big word perseverance, and I just thought about it. We didn't talk about a definition of what it is or anything. We didn't even like say, 'cause look, some of us, we can use big words, but we don't necessarily know what big words are. We just know them from how people have used them in the past and how it goes. So I'm sitting here and I'm staring at this definition and I'm like, we've literally talked about all of that. We've given situations, we've talked about different things. But here's what the definition says, right? It says to persist in a state, an enterprise or an undertaking in spite of counter influences, opposition, discouragement, to persist and to carry on. It's to continue making an effort, Dre, what you were doing, to do or achieve something, even when it is difficult or takes a long time. It's to continue this one trips me out right here. To continue to exist, not do anything, not say anything, not achieve anything, to exist despite a difficult or changing situation. How many people that we talk to in life, how many people that have gone through this COVID season, are, and how many people in this generation are we're hearing suicide is up to extreme amounts. I don't know the stats, but I know it's way too high. Perseverance is that ability to still exist, to wake up in the morning and still be here. I was just like, man, as you were talking about the situation, you know, you with continuing to go to your grandmother and you going in with your mother-in-law and just pushing when you don't want to, when it just feels like a thing. And then finally, after a certain amount of time, which for you guys might have felt like a long time. It could have been 5 days, but it might have felt like 10,000. Especially when you're facing something that you're just like, this is too much on me. This is, you know what I mean? But you kept pushing. You kept going. And for those, man, I just feel like this is an encouraging night. If anything, that's what we're doing for those out there. Look, keep pushing. Keep moving forward. We hear motivational speakers say, oh, it's all about the grind. You got to keep grinding. That's, you got to persevere. Mm-hmm. You got to grind. Mm-hmm. Yes. But the thing is, not everybody fully understands what grind means. It's not always the same thing for every person. Look, if you're grinding to make money and all that, yeah, there's a five-step process, whatever there may be to get your money and have your mansion and all that stuff like that. But there's also a grind that says you need to live. How are you going to live every day? How are you going to exist when you're facing mental and emotional challenges in your life? Things that your whole world gets flipped upside down. You persevere.
That's it. You're completely right, Vince. And I almost wonder, you talked about how it's the ability to keep living. You know, we see so many people that says, well, I just have lost the will to live. Well, what causes somebody to lose the will to live?
Yep.
So that to me tells me, just as an outsider, that you've gotten to a desperate point, a point of desperation. And if there's anyone that's currently listening to this, I would tell you, if you're in that point of desperation, and you feel like you've just lost all will to live, there is one who can restore your peace, restore your joy, and restore the soundness of mind, and his name is Jesus.
Amen.
And if you chase after him with everything that you are, there is no way you're going to be disappointed. There's something I've heard, and I think it's a fallacy. And that is, you hear these people say, well, just try Jesus, and you're going to like him. No, there's no... There's a saying that Yoda says, it's either do or do not. There is no try, right? You know, if anyone's a Star Wars fan out there, they know what I'm talking about.
I was about to say, well, he just quoted Yoda.
I quoted Yoda. Yeah, but the thing is, you know, that.
Come on, bro.
But you know what I'm saying? There's either do or don't. Either choose yes or choose no. It's almost like in the Matrix. It's either the red pill or the blue pill, right? You know, there's no in between. It's either you're all the way in or you're all the way out. And the reality is if you decide to go all the way in with Christ, he's going to change your life. It doesn't mean that there's not going to be struggle. It doesn't mean that there's not going to be seasons of challenge. But it does mean that when you're weak, Jesus will step in and give you the strength to carry on. It means when you have pain and heartache, he'll be the one that's there to comfort you. Amen. It means that he will give you brothers and sisters and mothers and fathers that you never knew of to help be a support system to help you beyond anything you could ever imagine. And I think that a lot of times people forget they can't just test the waters with Jesus and expect that there's going to be a miraculous change. You've got to jump all in, feet first. Almost kind of like when someone says, hey, let's go to the blue hole and jump off the cliff. Hey, you're either all in or you're all out jumping in that cliff, off that cliff. There's no halfway about it. Otherwise, you're going to hit the rocks below. So you've got to do a full jump.
It's like the picking of the chicken or the pig, right?
That's it.
Pigs
Oh
all
yeah.
in. Makes the
Yep.
bacon. You know, I can I add something to what you said too, to
Go
those
for
who
it.
need it? Also, like to leaders. Listen, if you're pastoring the church right now, if you're a youth leader or associate pastor, whatever, if you're leading in the church or something like that, and you feel all alone and you feel like, how am I going to do this anymore? I'm burnt out. I'm wore out. I'm just out. I'm ready to be out. Try Jesus. And I don't mean it like that. Look, you know Jesus. You've gotten saved. You've
That's
been
it.
called into the ministry. But look, maybe you need to take a step back and take a breather. Maybe you need to take a deep breath. Maybe it's just a case that the season you're in, you just need to keep standing or wake up every day and persevere or continue to exist. Because the season will come to an end. And eventually you will move into another season. You know, as long as we've had the earth rotating and easily since the flood, I don't know about beyond that, but the Lord said that there will be seed time and harvest.
That's right.
Every single year, there's a planting season, there's a harvesting season. To have, depending on where you live, you actually get to experience the four seasons of summer, winter, spring, and fall. Texas, not so much. We just experienced the other ones in short supply.
Yes.
But there are places really far up north. They experience winter and the other three in a couple of weeks and then back to winter again. So, but the seasons come and the seasons go, and this too shall pass. This too will go beyond. Don't succumb to the advances of the enemy. And don't give up and don't quit. If God's got your back, then look, you can do it. And if you need help, man, look, reach out to one of us. You know, Kirk and I have been ending it the same way. Dre, I don't know if we've shared that with you, but I believe it's with it, info@mooseministries.org,
Org.
right? Info@mooseministries.org. Look, reach out to us. Just shoot us an email. Say, hey, pray for me. I'm hurting. I'm ready to quit. I'm ready to throw in the towel or whatever, or even worse. Look, you're not alone. We've all been through our pains. We've all been through our hurts. We've all got the scars to prove it.
That's it.
So we'll be there with you. We'll pray with you and we'll pray you through. Or at least hopefully we could pray you through.
Now we'll pray him through,
Amen.
brother. That's for sure. Amen.
Decision's still theirs though, so
Exactly. Well, as we wrap this up, Andre, you're our guest today. And do you have any final thoughts? Anything that you want to add to the discussion this evening?
Just along the lines of what you guys are saying about people who are struggling, I think people who have failed is some of the people who really feel like they don't know where to go, they don't know what to do. But I just want to encourage them by saying that failure is not final, not when Jesus is in the room. So yeah, you blown it, get back up. Righteous man falls seven times and he gets back up. So
Amen.
perseverance. So, love you guys.
Yeah, I would close out by saying, don't forget King David. King David fell and fell and failed, screwed up, murdered a man, had an affair. And every time that God would turn around and discipline the man, he would persevere through it by repenting. He would completely turn his life back. Instead of trying to be, hey, I'm the king, I can do what I want, he would say, God, you are right. I'm wrong. See this heart that I have, God? Create in me a clean heart. Make a right spirit in me. So he would completely, with a full heart, repent to the Lord and allow himself to be broken before the Lord so that the Lord could do a miracle, almost like a heart transplant in the man. And I truly believe that is why David is a man after God's own heart. Guys, if we, any one of us, have anything in our lives that we present to God, God is sure to forgive us. He's sure to watch over us, to care for us, and he will walk you through the steps you need for freedom. Just like Vince said, if you need something, please reach out to us at info@mooseministries.org. We will be happy to pray with you. If you need some counseling, let us know that as well. We'll pray over that. And, you know, if you give us some contact information, we may even give you a holler at some point. Guys, we'll see you on the next podcast.
Later.